Kevin Bradley with the University of Missouri. Your title, please?
State Extension Weed Scientist.
And at the field day today at Bradford Farms, you had a session on dicamba injury and brought everyone here up to date on what the university has gathered information-wise, data-wise, and what you're looking into. What are the key take-home messages for the farmers that weren't here?
Well, the farmers that weren't here, what we're trying to show everybody is this is an issue that can't be swept under the rug. We have to deal with it. We have to communicate. There's our estimate right now from the Extension field faculty all throughout the state of Missouri is 200 and some thousand acres of soybeans in our state injured with dicamba, and that number increases every day. So if it's not something you heard about or seen in your area, I mean, that's great, but it is a huge issue that's happening all over the state right now.
And we're talking 2017. You did say that there's no way to know exactly how much of the old formulation is being used, but you suspect that there might be some. But then, of course, a lot of new technology planted in soybeans. So does that speak to concerns about the new formulations, which were said to be containing low volatility?
Absolutely. We know there's a small percentage of probably off-target movement that has occurred through the use of the old products. That's illegal. We shouldn't be doing it. But the vast majority of applications this year are with the newly approved products, the Extendamax, Fexapan, and Ingenia. They're labeled. They were touted as less volatile. And so you can't say that all this injury is due to these generics. There's the new products that are being used, and so we have to figure it out.
So as a scientist, where do you go from here? And you did reveal some preliminary results on some of the, I think it was the air volatility, but kind of just tell us where you are with the research and what more pieces of the puzzle you need.
Yeah, we need the rest of the season to finish this out. We have two more months planned of air sampling, but, you know, everything that we have to date that we share just a piece of, it just shows us that it is possible for these new products to escape out of the air as a gas. And we have proven that already. To what extent that is causing the problem is something we need to learn throughout the rest of the summer. And that's what we're going to try to do.
And how involved is the university with the investigations into the complaints of dicamba with the Department of Agriculture?
Yeah, so that's something that a lot of farmers kind of don't understand, that relationship. So we don't investigate anything. They share information with me if they see fit, and we try to work together. But I'm not an investigator. So what I will do is I will come to a field that is injured if I can at all possible, and if I have the time and there's a need to, and I will try to help that farmer and work with them. But that is not an official case or any kind of official investigation. Those would be done by the Missouri Department of Ag.
And they told us how complex the issue is in terms of finding out where exactly it came from. And something you mentioned out in the field was something that you don't know was the dose that was applied, correct?
Right. We never, you know, you walk into a field that's been injured with dicamba, there is no technology to date, at least, that there's any sample or anything that we can take that says, okay, this is 1/100th of drift rate or 1/100th of a normal use rate of dicamba or 1/10th or 1/1. That's just stuff we do, but we don't know what rate actually hit the plant. And that's part of the problem. We cannot give a solid answer to a grower who wants to know what kind of yield loss there is.
What can you tell growers based on the studies that you've done so far? And I know you just said you have much more to do. But in terms of temperature inversion and application, and of course, I'm sure you're going to say follow the label directions, which are much more complex, or there are many more steps than there were for the old formulations. But what else can you tell them to do based on your knowledge of the science?
Right now, today, there's some simple things we can do that you know, maybe I think some growers have underestimated. I think to be safe, we probably ought to be spraying between 9 and 3 p.m. Because our data says in that afternoon time frame an inversion can set in. You know, the labels don't require you to do that, but I think that's a safe thing that we can do that could help. No nighttime spraying. So all of these things are simple, but they're directed at the likelihood of off-target movement through volatility or temperature inversions. And then, like you just said, obviously what I'm going to say is we have to follow the label. For some reason, people don't believe it until they see it, that this stuff can be that bad at such a small dose. Just trust me. We don't need to go there. You don't need to see it happen for yourself. It is going to happen if you don't follow those spray parameters that are on those labels.